Deeper Consecration. May 17, 1908. Typed. The teachers employed in our schools should be men who are acquainted with God through an experimental knowledge. They know Him because they obey all the commandments He has given them. Jehovah engraved His Ten Commandments on tables of stone, that all the inhabitants of the earth might understand His eternal and unchangeable character. Those teachers who desire to advance in learning and proficiency need to lay right hold of these wonderful revelations of God. But it is only as heart and mind are brought into harmony with God that they will understand the divine requirements. None need concern themselves about those things which the Lord has not revealed to us. In these days, speculations will abound, but the Lord declares, "The secret things belong unto the Lord." Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The voice that spoke to Israel from Sinai is speaking in these last days to men and women, saying, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus 20, verse 3. The law of God was written with His own finger on tables of stone, thus showing that it could never be changed or abolished. It is to be preserved through the eternal ages, immutable as the principles of His government in heaven and in earth. Men have set their will against the will of God, but this will not silence His words of wisdom and command, though they may set their speculative theories in opposition to the teachings of Revelation, and exalt human wisdom above a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." It should be the determination of every soul who desires to enter the pearly gates, not so much to seek to understand all about the conditions that will prevail in the future state, as to know what the Lord requires of him in this life. It is the will of God that each professing Christian shall perfect a character after the divine similitude. By studying the character of Christ revealed in the Word, by practicing His virtues, the believer will be changed into the same likeness of goodness and mercy. Christ's works of self-denial and sacrifice brought into the daily life will develop in the soul the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. There are many who wish to evade the cross-bearing part, but the Lord speaks to all when He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9, verse 23. A great work is to be accomplished by the setting forth of the saving truths of the Bible. This is the means ordained of God to stem the tide of moral corruption in the earth. Christ gave His own life to make it possible for man to be restored to the image of God. It is the power of His grace that draws men together in obedience to the truth. Those who would experience more of the sanctification of the truth in their own souls should present the truth to those who are ignorant of it. Never will they find a more elevating, ennobling work. The teacher and evangelist. The work of educating our youth, as outlined for us in the instruction given of God, is to be sacredly maintained. For this reason, we must select as teachers those who will educate in right lines. Said my instructor, "Let not teachers be chosen to educate and train youth who will not maintain the simplicity of Christ's methods." His teachings contained the very essence of sanctified simplicity. Those teachers who present matters to the students in an uncertain light are not fitted for the work of educating the youth. No man is qualified for this work unless he is daily learning to speak the words of the teacher sent from God. Now is the time to sow the gospel seed. The seed we sow must be clean and pure, and that which will produce the choicest fruit. We have no time to lose. The work of our schools is to become more and more in character like the work of Christ. Only the power of the grace of God working on human hearts and minds will make and keep the atmosphere of our schools and churches clean. There have been teachers in our schools who could pass well in a worldly institution of learning, but who were unfitted for the training of our youth because they were ignorant of the truths of the gospel of Christ. They were unable to bring the simplicity of Christ into their labors. It should be the work of every teacher to present those truths that have called us out to stand as a peculiar people before the world, and which are able to keep us in harmony with heaven's laws. In the messages that have been sent to us from time to time, we have truths that will accomplish a wonderful work of reform in our characters, if we will give them place. They will prepare us from entrance into the holy city of God. It is our privilege to make continual advancement to a higher grade of Christian living. One night I was awakened and instructed to write a straight testimony regarding the work of our school at Loma Linda. By that school, a solemn and sacred work was to be done. The teachings of health reform were to stand out clearly and brightly, that all the youth in attendance might learn to practice them. All our educators should be strict health reformers. The Lord desires that genuine missionaries shall go out as pioneers from our schools. They are to be fully consecrated to the work, as laborers together with God, daily enlarging their sphere of usefulness and becoming more fully sanctified through the truth. The influence of a consecrated medical missionary teacher in our schools is invaluable. I have been instructed to present these things before our teachers. We need to be converted from our faulty lives to the faith of the gospel. Christ's followers have no need to try to shine. If they will behold constantly the life of Christ, they will be changed in mind and heart into the same image. Then they will shine, without any superficial attempt. The Lord asks for no display of goodness. In the gift of His Son, He has made provision that our inward lives may be imbued with the principles of heaven. It is the appropriation of this provision that will lead to a manifestation of Christ to the world. When the people of God experience the new birth, their honesty, their uprightness, their fidelity, their steadfast principles will unfailingly reveal it. Oh, what words were spoken to me! What gentleness was recommended through the grace abundantly given! The greatest manifestation that men and women can make of the grace and power of Christ is made when the natural man becomes partaker of the divine nature and, through the power that the grace of Christ imparts, overcomes the corruptions that are in the world through lust.